Welcome to our podcast, Talking About Vandalia. The podcast is brought to you in part by Heck Chevrolet and F&B Community Bank of Vandalia, Ramsey, Patoka, Mulberry Grove, and Greenville. Podcast number 7 this week, and I'm joined by Vandalia Mayor Doug Knabel and Vandalia Police Chief Jeff Frey. And let you start off, Mayor, talking a little bit about law enforcement and public safety and a few other things today. So
proud to announce that we did reappoint Jeff for another 4 years last night. That was approved to the council. So we talked about the podcast last week. I think it's, again, just want to make people aware of what's going on. We've got a very experienced police force, a very good police force. There's just a lot of things going on that people don't realize. And so, again, part of the transparency campaign, just wanted to bring Jeff in and let him talk about what things are going on. He's also the chair of the E911 committee. Some really exciting things going on there. And I just thought it'd be a good idea.
Well, Chief, kind of start there. I know there are some pretty big things going on with E911 or the 911 building and everything starting to move forward at this point.
Yes, actually, there was people in there working today. I seen them when they're working on the ceiling. We just did the bid opening a week or two ago, and so they're in there working. So hopefully that process will get us combined. A lot of people don't know what that is. So we're combining our dispatch center, 911 dispatch, with the sheriff's office 911 dispatch. It'll be one consolidated center, so we'll be able to assist each other, two people working all the time, where right now they're in separate buildings, have the same computer screens, can answer the same calls, back each other up, but this is going to be one consolidated answering point, so it'll be a good benefit for the community.
Yeah, so we were fortunate. Currently we are operating under a waiver for PSAPs. We have two in the county. We know that at some point the state's going to say no, so this was inevitable. This had to happen. And we were just fortunate in that, the library built their new facility. This property came open. So it just really made sense that the timing worked out really, really well.
And having the county and the city both together, I mean, that you guys work together a lot anyway, so it's got to streamline things a little bit, doesn't it?
Sure. And it's cost effective, too, for taxpayers. We're, instead of buying everything twice now, we can buy a lot of things one time and be able to use them in that facility. So that's a big push the state's been going to, consolidating 911 dispatch centers. Several years ago, it was made to where you could only have two in the county. So a lot of places were forced to consolidate, and that's what the mayor talked about. We got a waiver back then to where we could operate like we are. But now we're just trying to get a little ahead. They're going to keep consolidating. We would like to have our center to where if they consolidate more counties, maybe we could take on more people at that time, as opposed to our 911 calls going to just say Marion County or Bond County, a different county, to where our dispatchers know our area.
So what's the reason for the consolidation? What is the reasoning behind that?
Well, the main push by the state is to save money, believe it or not. Cost reduction of having all these, having all these different centers, you're buying all the same equipment, all the same. Some at one time there was legislators that talked about wanted to put more, like all the PSAPs in one location, which didn't gain any ground. But like our dispatch, state police dispatch, used to be in Effingham, and they've moved it to DeCoin. And there were some growing pains when that first happened, because if you call DeCoin and you say, hey, I'm out by the Red Barn at Smith's Corner, they don't know where the Red Barn at Smith's Corner is, and not that all of our people know all these landmarks and things like that, but it does help having your dispatch center local.
Yeah, I mean, think about that. I mean, at one point, your 911 call here got answered in DeCoin.
Yeah.
And to Jeff's point, I mean, we had an issue. I think it was an incident at the church that was really close to the hospital, and there was a delay because they don't know the area. So we've come a long way, and that's what's exciting about this. At the end, the ultimate goal is, saving money, but more importantly, efficiency and saving people's lives.
Mm-hmm. So getting started on this, what is the ETA, at this point?
Actually seeing them in there working this week, we thought it might be a winter project for the contractor, which is Johannes, Johannes was the contractor doing this, but they're in there working already. And so I couldn't get my guess early on was, hopefully by the first of the year we'll be in there, but maybe sooner.
So from the city standpoint, we now have a building that was vacant that's going to become this I don't say state of the art, we always use that, but it's going to be a very nice dispatch center. When this is all said and done between the improvements and the equipment, it's going to be over $500,000 that is spent on that facility. And again, I think it's going to do the citizens a great service and, you know, ultimately make us safer, which is the ultimate goal.
Yeah, and a lot of people, you know, every time you pay your cell phone bill every month, and if you, some people still have home phones, that there's a tax on there that goes to 911. So that's where those funds come from. And this has been in place for, I'm in my 13th year as the chief, and it was long.
Yeah, it's been about 20 years.
About a 20-year project that started this. So back years ago, we didn't have E911. So in E911, when you call 911, we can see your location pop up on a map. Not always 100% accurate, so it's always best to give your location. We are rolling out, just started up in the last month or two with text to 911. So if somebody was in, and I want to stress it is for emergencies, not your neighbor's dogs running loose or something like that, but it is a 911 service that you can text your emergency to, and it's important to give your location, and you just text 911 on your phone and you can give your location. The dispatcher will receive that just like he or she's getting a phone call. They can respond back to you. I tested it out, worked really well. It's important to use brief, concise messages. Stay away from emojis and slang or whatever, everything, all these other little acronyms they use and things like that, that we might not know what you're talking about. But it is a new service. It's up and running in Fayette County. So that is available to somebody if they were in need of emergency text to 911.
Okay, great. Didn't realize that. So yeah, you can. So if you have an emergency, you can text now, and it goes through the same process.
Yep.
So
yep.
I think that's the thing I've been amazed by. Again, I've been on the committee for 20 years. Since again, to the citizens' credit, they voted for this. You know, they allowed this to happen. But it's just the technology and the expansion and how the things that they can do now. It just amazes me as a layperson on the outside. I'm not, very electronically strong, but to see what they talk about that they can do with this technology is amazing.
Well, talking about that, I mean, that puts the onus on you, your department. You guys got to keep up with this kind of stuff.
For sure, yeah. And it's a technology is always evolving, and the city council has been good to the police department as far as helping with technology. You know, they approved our license plate reader cameras, which we use on a regular basis for solving crime. We also, technology-wise, we just upgraded our tasers to Taser 10s, which not everybody's familiar with Taser, and I don't want to muddy the waters with what all that is, but now a Taser 10, you can shoot up to 10 Taser probes, as opposed to one that may not connect and it doesn't work properly. So it has 10 separate shots. And we also upgraded our body cams to the newest body cams that are available. It's a great tool that we can also, our dispatch can watch live through the body cam if need be, if the officer's not responding or if I need to watch or any of the other command staff need to watch live. While there's an event happening, we can do that from our computer. So
I know we talked about, kind of to go back on the license plate readers for just a minute. You and I talked about this before. This isn't to track somebody coming. This is used for a limited basis, and then you guys don't save them, right?
Right. It's saved for 30 days, I believe, is the time frame that it's that we can go back and look, because we might need to solve a crime, a hit and run, or a theft is what generally is what they're used for. We actually used one last week on a theft. A guy stole the guy at his car parked next to his workplace, and he pulled up and stole his lunchbox sitting outside his car. The camera from the surveillance of the business didn't get the license plate, but we got enough of the vehicle description, color, make, model. We were able to run through our license plate reader cameras, get a match on that vehicle, and arrest coming soon on that. So
very good. Well, talk some more about the department, Chief.
Sure.
How are things set up? I know you've been in your position. I think you've been a PD about 3 months longer than I've been here.
I'm in my 26th year with the police department. We have 13 full-time officers. We have 21 staff. Our average years of experience is 10.2, I think, right now. So we have some three or four guys over 20 years, and then we have some guys with 1 or 2 years. So we've got a good mix. One thing that's kind of unique about our department, or that I like about our department, is looking through the roster today, everybody has attended school in Fayette County or graduated from Fayette County. So it's they know our people, they know our community and what our values are, and what we're looking for in an officer.
So. Well, and that kind of helps, like we were talking about with the landmarks and things like that, guys mm-hmm. that are from here. That helps out a little bit, doesn't it?
It does. And they all want the best for Vandalia, you know, and the county. So, you know, and not saying anything negative about, we've hired people that haven't been from here before. It's just worked out that a lot of times those guys maybe use this as a stepping stone to move on to other departments. And I don't fault anybody for that, but, with having local guys, they seem to stick around. They're going to live here. They're raising their families here. So it's a good department.
Talking about working with other departments, that's one of the unique things here with St. Elmo controlling in Ramsey and Brownstown. So you got yourself, you got Sheriff Stevens and Chief Scruggs. I mean, you guys are over 99% of the county.
So. Right, yeah, and we all work really well together. They're always willing to help out anytime we need anything, and just a phone call away, and vice versa. We work so well together. Probably the best working relationship we've had amongst those departments in my 26 years.
Very good. Well, Mayor, anything you'd like to add on?
No, I can't brag on these guys enough. I know we got a great staff, and you know, it's our job as a council and me as mayor to make sure they have the resources. You know, public safety, when you look at reasons you move to a community, you know, schools and medical care, parks, but public safety is one of the top on the list. And, you know, I think we're blessed to have the quality of force that we do. And, you know, I don't know what Jeff has for, you know, he hasn't promised me, but, you know, we're trying to get him to sign up for at least another 8 years, you know, and make this a long-term commitment to the city. But he does a great job. And it's K-9.
We did put that in the budget this year. State's attorney Brenda Mathis has offered to donate some funds from some of her forfeiture funds or opiate funds that she has through the court. So the council's agreed to that. We're still working out details on how all that would work, but the goal with that would be to have it up and running by next or by the end of this budget year, you know, and a lot that goes into that with as far as union contracts and making sure the handler, you can select the right handler and the right dog. But that is something we're excited about. Not only does it really help the community in many aspects, but it also gives the officers something to strive for too.
Now, the dog's not FOP, right?
Not yet. No. To be determined. <Yeah. laughs> You might have some high demands.
Right, exactly. I know you'd mentioned that too. Uh-huh. There's quite a variance on, you know, what kind of dog you do get and what they're capable sure. of and that kind of thing too. So
yeah, so you have just search and rescue dog. You have maybe just a narcotics dog, or what they call dual purpose, or a bite dog that would be able to apprehend a suspect if need be. And not that you ever want to see anybody get bit or hurt, but if a dog can do what a human might get killed or hurt doing, then we'd rather use a dog in those situations. So
very good. Well, Mayor, I was going to bring you in for a couple of things real quick from last night. We did talk a lot about the aggregate situation. Yeah, yeah. And I know as much as anything, you wanted to educate people.
Yeah, exactly. That. I mean, so. You know, again, you see a lot of people questioning because you're getting the opt-in or opt-out letters, as we were talking about. So we brought a gentleman from Homefield in last night to explain, you know, for 15 years ago or so, the city entered into this aggregation agreement. So people have a choice. You can opt out or, you know, stay with Homefield, or opt out and go back to Ameren. You know, his point last night was that over the 15-year period, you know, I think they've saved, he estimates, about $1.5 million for the people who have taken advantage of the program. You know, the problem is, you know, we had a citizen there last night who, you know, said if you looked at the last year, maybe that math didn't work. You know, kind of equated almost to the stock market, you know, jumping in and out. It's kind of hard to say, but you know, again, just more like you said, more than anything, just educate the people. You know, you have a couple options. You can opt into the aggregation system, or you can stay with Ameren. And that's just ultimately a decision that, you know, people have to make on their own based on their own budgets. And again, our purpose was just to make people aware of it.
And a couple more things. I know you mentioned last night you're working on Economic Development Commission committee, and you're getting close on that.
Yeah, actually, matter of fact, I one of the people I was waiting on a response on, I ran into today, committed to it. So at the next meeting, I will be unveiling the full list of the names for the Economic Development Committee. And so, yeah, excited about that. You know, again, I campaigned on that. It's been a little slower. That's on me. Was hoping to have it ready to go day one, but you know, we'll have it in the first meeting in July, and excited to have a good group of people who care about the community.
Economic Development Director, you mentioned that last night. Still making progress.
Yeah, so narrowing in on a candidate, and I think my plan is to have a meeting the first week of July with the council to maybe you know, have kind of a more formal interview. To introduce, so stay tuned, but yeah, definitely making progress, and you know, all really excited about that if this works out.
Done. Thank you for listening to our podcast talking about Vandalia. It's brought to you by Heck Chevrolet and F&B Community Bank of Vandalia, Ramsey, Patoka, Mulberry Grove, and Greenville. You can listen to all of our podcasts. Just go to VandaliaRadio.com and go under the podcast tab.